I place the greatest value on the broken body of Jesus Christ. I place the greatest value on the blood of Jesus Christ. I honor it and I worship it. We'll read in the scriptures a little bit later in today's service how that many and, you know, some, many different situations, many overlook and trod underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ because they have no knowledge. And then some trod underfoot because they have no desire to know Him. But how many of you today are desiring to know Him? Is that right? So everything broken, everything out of sync, everything out of order, every vision that I can't see and the purpose I can't understand, then I believe I receive Jesus' broken body. Jesus' broken body. I believe that I receive His broken body for all of my brokenness. Praise God. Now by faith I receive wholeness, full vision, full order, full direction, fullness in my family, fullness in every area of my life. I now judge myself to live in His unbroken world. Amen. Praise the Lord. This cup is the new covenant. And I believe that I receive the new covenant. I stir up the better and the new covenant in my life. As I partake today, I believe that I will walk in and be aware of all of His eternal life and His bountiful benefits. Thank you, Father God. I will reject all dead things. I will reject dead places. And in my heart, I will judge dead things and dead places. I will only receive life. I will only receive life things and life places, life actions, life thoughts. I will only receive life. Praise the Lord. How many know Jesus says that the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy? But Jesus said, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. Today we have a table of life in front of us. In the bulletin there, I've given you some bullets that you can have some ammunition there, glory to God, when you go to just putting Satan back where he belongs, that's under your feet. Yes. He has no power in your life. Amen. He's already been defeated. For the glory of God. I want us to look at 1 Corinthians 10. I want us to go there. We'll just let the Word of God teach and talk today. We're talking about communion. What is communion? Communion is divine fellowship with the Father, with the Spirit, with the Son, and you and I one with another. Paul said there in chapter 11, when everybody come together, they shouldn't have their own sects. In other words, your own group or your own thing. We ought to all have the same mind. Our agreement is in Jesus Christ. Not what we drive, what we wear, where we're from, what we're doing. But our unity, our unification is Jesus Christ. So here we find out what this communion is in 1 Corinthians 10:16. It says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not? That's a question, but he's making a point. Is it not the communion of the blood of Jesus Christ? The communion of the blood of Jesus Christ simply represents His life. His life. We found out that the life of all flesh is in the blood. It wasn't so much that we have to have a container of Jesus' blood. That blood represented His life and His nature. So today, if you never, 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 triple negative, if you never get to drink a cup of juice again, it does not mean that you won't have any power, because the very life of God was poured out. He went and paid the penalty of death, because that represents His shed blood represents His life was poured out. Yeah. but it was raised back up again. So his life is continual, whether we have this communion table again the rest of the days of your life, or whether you ever hear about the blood of Jesus again. As far as the blood in a cup, his life is now permeating death. Glory to God. So he said, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the life of Christ? And the bread that we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? We don't have the body of Christ in the earth today. He's seated on the right hand of Father God. If we never see the body of Christ with our eyes, it does not mean that the power has been stopped. The very life and the nature of God is flowing freely through the cup of blessing, through the blood of Jesus Christ, his very own life. And Jesus' very own body was bruised and battered, and he took the penalty of the curse of sickness and disease on his body. But guess what? He's in heaven in a glorified body, a resurrected body, one that has power over sickness and disease, one that has power over any problem in our body. The resurrected one has a perfect body with the scars of the covenant in that body, guaranteeing you and I physical healing and wellness for the glory of God. Amen. So this table is just getting brighter and it's getting glorious, and I just no more and opened my mouth till the glory started manifesting on me. And you know, you can't talk very long about the life of God without the glory beginning to manifest. Amen. You know, for what Adam lost, Jesus, the second Adam, or we can say the last Adam, what Adam lost in the garden, Jesus has gained that back. Do you remember that Father God blessed Adam? That blessing was the glory of God upon him. Well, Adam, you've heard it all your life, he comes short of that glory. Is that right? He lost that glory. But the wonderful news is that glory is now back.
Yes.
That glory is now back. That blessing is now back. The Bible says if we be raised with Jesus Christ, then we shouldn't allow sin to have power over us. Why? Because what raised Jesus from the dead raised us from the dead. The glory of the Father come in and raised the second man from the dead. Amen. So you and I are in like manner of the one that God raised from the dead by his glory. You were raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. To walk in the newness of life. What is the newness of life? The glory of the Father. The Lord told me, and politely I say this, that many wait till they pass this natural life, and first time they ever going to see the glory is when they split the sky. But we don't have to wait to see the glory then. We can experience the glory now.
Yes. Amen.
This blood and this broken body has got us in position and condition that we can experience the glory.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Well, you know, in Hebrews chapter 6, you read this at home. I'll give this for you for homework. But Hebrews chapter 6, you know the scripture says there that when Father God came to Abraham, he was making a vow. He was making a promise to him. A promise means something that you don't have yet, but you're going to have. So Father God, he swore, he said, hey, I've looked around, Abram, and I can't find anybody greater than myself. I'm not talking about me. This is God talking. Father God says, I can't find anything, anyone around that's greater than me. So, Abram, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to swear an oath, and I'm going to swear by my own self.
Right.
How many know if God swears by his own self to you, it's good as done?
Yes.
Is that right? People walk around the earth today making excuses that God don't answer prayer, that God don't move anymore, that God says no, and all this kind of stuff. But how many of you know if you found it in the Word, he's already sworn an oath.
Yes.
He's
yes.
sworn an oath. He said, I'm not a man that I can lie, neither am I the son of man. Have I not said it? And I have said it, therefore it will come to pass. Glory to God. So he said, I'm going to show you the immutability of my own counsel. What is that? I cannot lie. Amen. He said, so for you, I'm going to give you something to prove unto you that I can't lie. He said, I'm going to give you two things to prove the immutability of my own counsel. I'm going to give you the broken body of Jesus Christ, amen, represented in the bread here today on this table. And I'm going to give you his shed blood, hallelujah. And it'll put you in remembrance of the very life and nature of Almighty God. I'll put you in remembrance that he was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was upon him, and by his stripes ye were healed. Oh, hallelujah. So he said, I'm going to give you something this morning. Now, I know y'all feeling him in the house now. He said, I'm going to give you something this morning that you'll know that I'm an assurity of a better covenant. Under the old covenant, when you sinned, you had to die physically, sometimes immediately. But now under this new covenant, which replaced the old, we have mercy when we miss it. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. This table is reminding us that he's a merciful God. He's a great high priest. Amen. Psalm 103 verses 101 and 3, it said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and everything that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and guess what? Don't forget some things. Don't forget. The psalmist David said, don't be a forgetter. Jesus said, put me in remembrance. We'll have to remember some things about this day and this situation we're in. When you have symptoms come on you and hard times come, tests and trials flood in, it's not a time to say, well, God's working something out in me. It's time to say, hey, situation, I'm working something out in you, and there's the door. Praise the Lord. Go far from me. You can't come nigh my dwelling. Amen. Why? Because there's a blood ring around me. There's a sign upon my frontlet, on my forehead. There's a circumcision in my heart that says I belong to God, and there's no trespassing here now. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. So we'll move on over to chapter 11 there, 1 Corinthians 11. And we'll begin reading in verse, for the sake of time, verse 23. Very familiar scripture to you. But we trust and believe as every side of the mountain we come up, whatever text we come to, that as we approach it a different side of the mountain, we can cultivate new ground.
Yes.
We can receive, praise the Lord. So Paul, speaking to the church at Corinth, now remember, Corinth was a very lascivious group of people. They were the church, but they had everything in the world going on. They were trying to be Gentile. I'll say it like this. They were trying to be heathen and trying to be the church all at one time. So Paul had to straighten some things out before the communion process. He said, when you come to take the communion, he said, you ought not come in and just have a feast and have it to get drunk in. He said, it's not for the natural man. We're here to have a love feast. Today we need to move far, but I'm not saying that you're here as a Gentile or a heathen, but today we need to be reminded from the scriptures that we walk through that door into a natural room, but this is not a natural service. This is where Father God, his purpose, his plan is being unfolded. It's where the Lord Savior Jesus Christ can remind you of his love for you, that he took your place in the penalty of death, hell, and the grave. It's the Spirit that's bringing witness that all of this has been accomplished already in the tabernacle made without hands. Then you and I, we need to look at one another and guarantee one another that we're going to love one another in this earth. Glory to God. The same love that Jesus loved us with, it's a vow in the heavens that I'll always love you. Oh, glory be to God. That is a love feast. Amen? Paul said, I've received something of the Lord, that which also I'm now going to give unto you. The Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed. Think about betrayal. Jesus being betrayed. He came to be the lamb slain, and everybody turned his back on him. The very answer they needed was right before their eyes, and they didn't believe it was him. the very same night in which he was betrayed, he took some bread. And when he gave thanks and blessed that bread, he broke it. He broke the bread. And he said, "Take this and eat it." What is this? "This is my body, which is broken," everybody say, "for me." Jesus wasn't broken for himself. He was broken for you, and he was broken for I. He was broken for me, praise the Lord. He said, "This do in remembrance of me." There's something that's, you know, we had the old celebration in the old covenant, praise the Lord. It was called Passover. It was an eternal celebration for the old covenant believers. They got together and they put in remembrance that a little bitty lamb slain, he was slain and his blood was applied to the doorpost. Pharaoh and his army and the death angel could not come in and bring destruction unto the family that had the blood of a little bitty lamb on the doorpost. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. How many of you know that 1 Corinthians tells us that Jesus has become our Passover? So Passover is now fulfilled. He's not only the lamb slain before the foundation of the world, but he's become the door also. He just didn't put blood on the door. He just became the door. Amen. He said, if anybody will desire to come, let him come. He can say it because he's the door. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Glory to God. So he said, This bread was broken for you, and this do in remembrance of me. And in after the same manner, he took the cup. Everybody say the cup. He took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, and as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Praise the Lord. We have a little bitty plastic cup here today, and it has Welch's, the good stuff. It's got Welch's grape juice in there. And he said, every time you drink that, by our custom, every time you drink that, you put yourself in remembrance of what he has done through this cup. Praise the Lord. Jesus drank the deep, dark dregs of sin, sickness, and disease, and being separated from Father God. Jesus drank that down and he became that. Jesus then looked at us and he said, "Lest you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part of me." In other words, lest you take everything he's got, you're not his. Come on, somebody. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
So let's read on here. He said, For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do declare, you show forth the Lord's death until he return. So this morning we have a blessing. We have a promise that he's coming back. He's not just gone and forgotten, but he's coming back. Amen. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord, he drinks it unworthily. Watch this word, unworthily. Now, how many of you know if we compared our good, our works and our righteousness compared to Jesus, how many of you know every one of us would come up faulty? It's filthy rags. We could put all of our good together and store it up together and compare it to Jesus, and it wouldn't even add up at all. Because we were totally unrighteous. We were unworthy of his presence. So this word unworthy here is not talking about are you worthy for his presence. He's saying if you come and you celebrate the communion in an unworthy manner, we're not magnifying the bread and we're not magnifying the blood, then that's unworthy. If you and I come to this session today and we're receiving this communion unworthily, then that means I've put myself back in the picture. It's all about me, what I've done, what I've accomplished. Am I worthy or not? But if I always think about what he did through the bread and what he did through the cup, that takes me out of the picture.
Absolutely.
So that's the worthy call of the communion service. Is not this the communion of the blood of Jesus Christ? Is not this the communion with the body of Jesus Christ? A communion is all about Him. Praise God. So where the glory of the communion service is I take myself out of the picture and let Him come in the picture, and then I have communion with Him. Glory to God. He prepares me for the presence. He prepares me for the divine koinonia, the highest level of fellowship. Amen. And so when I take myself out of the picture, then I'm having this service worthily before Father God. Amen. He said, but if I drink this cup and I eat this bread unworthily or in the wrong manner, I put myself back in the picture, I shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. I don't want anybody guilty this morning. I want you to take yourself out of the picture. You cannot get to God on your good works. You can't get there by what you do. You can't get there by bringing someone a cold drink of water. No, you can only get there by His shed blood and His broken body. Amen.
Amen.
Now the works that you and I do, the works that you and I do are now proof that He is living in us to do the works. Amen. We're showing a lost and dying world now that God is alive. If they don't see God, they can see us. Amen. See the love of God through us. Is that all right? He said in verse 30, now watch this. This is the only place where He talks about a cause. He says, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Now that word sleep there means die prematurely. For this cause, many are weak among you. They are infirm, and many are sickly. And He says, many go ahead and pass before their time. Now, God's intent and God's will, let me drop this in. You're very blessed and well taught. But how many of you know that a young man 14 years old, God doesn't need a new flower in heaven, so He just plucks a 14-year-old out of the earth. See, God doesn't do that. He's promised us long life.
Yes.
It would be unfair if He took a 12-year-old and then I lived to 55.
Oh, absolutely.
It would be unfair if He took a newborn baby and I lived to 94.
Absolutely.
So God's a just God.
Yes.
Now, y'all don't get quiet on me
Come
now.
On, it's good.
See, God is a just God.
Yes.
But the cause a lot of times is people through ignorance, they don't know, they hadn't been taught. They don't know how to judge this table. I'm encouraging you to judge this table. I'm encouraging you to get the full benefit out of it. I've been to funerals where people would pass and during a celebration time, we know they're born again, so we know they're in heaven. But then the preacher would stand up and say that God did all that. Now that's kind of sad. Thank goodness they're in heaven and they don't care what anybody's saying, whether it's in ignorance or in rebellion. They don't really care, but they'd like to send the message back down here and said, hold on just a minute. There was a cause. It's never God's fault. God's never committed murder. If He has, then He's just totally bankrupt because He told you not to commit murder. See? So God doesn't kill. He doesn't take out. He doesn't destroy. No, He's made a way for us to overcome all these things.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. He's a good God. I said He's a good God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
For this cause, many, many. Everybody say many.
Many.
Now see, the many doesn't have to involve you and I.
Wow.
You're going to make a mistake. I'm going to make a mistake. But we don't have to get hung in that mistake.
Right.
We can come to this table and we can renew and put in remembrance of what Jesus has done, and we can overcome this that would cause many to be weak, sickly, and sleep among us. It says if we judge ourselves, will not be judged. Glory to God. So how are we going to judge ourselves today? Well, Brother Brian, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't cuss, and I don't run around. No, it's not I don't. We judge ourselves in Him.
Yes.
We put ourselves in remembrance.
Yes.
That every wrong I've ever done in my past, every wrong that I've ever going to do today in my present, every wrong that I'm going to do in my future, God has judged me. Come on, He's judged me in that. And He put that judgment, that penalty that was due unto me, He put it on Jesus Christ. I said He put it on Jesus Christ. Watch out now. When my wife gets up, starts hollering, the glory starts coming in. Hallelujah. He's already judged your mistakes.
Yes,
He's already judged your mistakes.
Yes,
so how do we judge ourselves? We begin to think out loud. We begin to meditate on that all my mistakes, it's already been judged and it's been put on Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It doesn't give us free rein just to go and live like the devil. No, it'll bring humility.
Oh, yes.
I said it'll bring humility and the fear of the Lord.
Yes.
When we think that Jesus has been judged in our place for where we made a mistake, I don't want to make a mistake in the morning. I don't want to make a mistake in the evening. And oh, when I do, it hurts me. I said, it hurts me. It hurts me emotionally. It hurts my very own heart, my love for my master. I don't want to hurt Him. Oh, glory to God. I want to be a bright light and a witness unto Him. Amen. Says, but when we are judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together, eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. Eat your steak and potatoes at home. Eat your fried bologna at home. Just come to the table and have these two elements representing that only puts in remembrance a supernatural world, glory to God, that we live in. The blood of Jesus Christ and His broken body. Amen. Because the point Paul was making here is if we just get together and eat and drink and, you know, eat donuts and cake and ribeyes, and I know you got lunch coming on, but amen, it'll just increase the lust of the flesh. He said, put all that stuff at home. Eat that at home. He said, in this divine communion here, make sure it's a supernatural, make sure it's a spiritual thing. Praise the Lord. Amen. So in your bulletin there, the first bullet you have is the cup. The cup. The blood represents the very life of Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. It says, in whom? In Jesus Christ. That's who he's talking about. In whom we have redemption through his blood. This cup that he drank, he took everything that would cause us not to be redeemed back unto Father. In whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. How many ever heard someone tell you that when you miss it, it's over with, you're doomed? Well, there's you a good scripture. Next time you miss it and you come short of the glory after you're born again, you also by his blood have forgiveness of sins. Glory to God. So go to Hebrews chapter 9. Let's get a scripture over there. What are we talking about? We're talking about the cup here. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11. Someone call 911. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 9 and 11. Talking about the cup here. Talking about the cup. Praise God. These two elements, remember that Father God in Hebrews chapter 6, he said, I'm going to give two elements, two things to prove my immutability. In other words, something that'll show you and tell you that I cannot lie and I cannot fail. But he looked around and he found no one greater to swear by, so he sware by himself. So here we're looking at the cup or the blood in verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 9. It says, but Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands like the one Moses made, that is to say, not of this building, not of this time frame. It says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, that's a point talking about the old covenant.
Right.
Verse 14 says, how much more if the ashes of a heifer and the blood of goats and bulls and rams, it sanctified the flesh for a moment, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your very own conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Amen. So the blood of Jesus Christ, this cup, praise the Lord, it not only has redeemed us from the power and attorney of Satan and redeemed us back unto our Heavenly Father, not only has it redeemed us, but he has forgiven us of sins. Glory to God. Not only has he forgiven us of sins, but he's now purged us from a dead conscience. We have a conscience that's conscience unto the righteousness of God. We're not conscious of I'm an old rank sinner anymore. I'm not conscious and afraid of sin anymore. Now my consciousness is of the righteousness of God. I'm conscious of a loving Heavenly Father. I'm conscious of a loving Savior that died for me. Glory to God. And now I'm free from the law of those dead works. The dead works that came connected to me, I'm free of those dead works. Now I'm serving a living God and I have living works. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. That's good preaching right there, isn't it? Glory to God. And he says, and for this cause he has become the mediator of a new testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Glory to God. So this cup that we're about to partake of, we're going to put ourselves in remembrance that we've been redeemed by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. We've been forgiven of past, present, and future sins. We've been delivered from sin consciousness. We've been delivered from dead works. It's a whole different session and a whole different testimony and a whole different time of teaching, but the Bible tells us that we don't need to go back every week and repent from dead works. That should have happened one time. We should have repented from dead works one time. Now the life I live is in living works. Amen. It's not inspired by the flesh to try to get something to be right before God. It's inspired by the Spirit, because now I am right before God. Amen. How many of you know that you won't lay hands on a sick person if you think you're unworthy? You'd say, "Oh, I'm not worthy to lay hands on the sick. Only Jesus could do that. Only Apostle so-and-so, only Pastor so, only Bishop, only Deacon so-and-so could do this, because they're a holy man." No, God has made us all individually holy before God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Think about it a few years ago, you know, a few thousand years ago, before this new covenant came into being. God come in the midst of the congregation, we'd all just pass out and die.
Yep. Yep.
We'd just all fall over like a dead man. Why? Because they come up and touch the mountain under the old covenant and they weren't set apart. They weren't born again. They weren't made the righteousness of God. Amen. So when flesh touched that holy mountain where God was sitting upon, the goat that he was leading, the dog that was with him, whatever was with him, they all fell over dead.
Yes.
And the man died instantly. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
How many of you felt God's presence this morning?
Yes.
How many of you not only felt him, but you know he's here by faith? Amen.
Yes.
Know ye not that ye are the temple of the living God? And before God can dwell anywhere, he's got to sanctify it. He's got to clean it up. He's got to separate it. Isn't that right? If God came in the room this morning and was dwelling on the inside of you and he hadn't made you right yet, you would just fall over dead. Come on, somebody. Oh, hallelujah. What a glorious work God has done in your life. Amen. He didn't leave anything out. Praise the Lord. I said he didn't leave anything out. You thought he did because the adversary would come and remind you that you did something way back in 1911. He'll say, well, brothers, you're such a brother. What about this? And he'll bring something up in your past that happened in 1911. He'll bring something up that happened in your past day before yesterday. But see, Jesus said, you're going to have to put yourself in remembrance. I said, you're going to have to put yourself in remembrance. You're going to have to take you out of the picture and put him in the picture. Amen. The adversary always wants to come and put you to judge this table unworthily. Oh, don't you know what you did, what you said, where you been, what you thought? See, you have to take the adversary and say, you just sit over there a little while. I'm going to go in and put him in. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to put him in remembrance. Amen. I want everybody in here to forget your 1911 episode. Amen. Because we've already called 911. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We've already called the ambulance. We've already called the Savior. We've already called the rescue team. We've already called the one that counts. Amen. We've already called the one that was there before it ever happened. Oh, glory to God. I'm preaching better than we're shouting this morning. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but I'm hipping myself this morning. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. Amen. This is what this communion table is all about. Amen. Amen. So just take those 1911 episodes and just let them go on back where they belong. Amen. Sure. Now don't cover it up. If you missed it, just say you missed it. If it was just blank sin, just say, now I sinned. I come short of it. I just hit it right on the nail. I missed it. But then you say that unto your Father and say, I'm honoring you. I'm putting Jesus in remembrance. Yes. Now, yes, you know I did it. And I know I did it, so I'm confessing that unto you. Yes. Now, you loving Father, you give me that grace and power so that when I walk tomorrow, that won't happen in my life. Right. He'll pick you up, dust you off, and he'll cast that as far as the east is the west. Yes, you can start walking today and you'll never find it. That's how far away it is from your life. People get caught up with things and they think, oh, I mistreated that one. You know, that's 40 years ago. Did something wrong with some finances. And that's been 50 years ago. And they'll just hold on to that. And the adversary, he'll not only put a demon on this shoulder, he'll put one on both shoulders. He won't even give you time to talk to an angel. He won't even let them get in a word, anywise. He's always reminding you of your failures. Jesus said, that's going to the communion table unworthily. We're going to take ourselves out this morning and put him all the way in. Amen. So then that's the element of the cup. Then the element of the bread. How many of you know in John chapter 6, I think in verse 35, Jesus declared, he says, I am the bread of life. Amen. How many of you like to have some bread this morning? Yes. Jesus said, healing is the children's bread. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Therefore, he's the bread that brings healing to the children. Oh, yes. Glory to God. Yes. Anybody need any healing this morning? Then Jesus is the supply to our healing. 1 Peter 2:24 says, he or who his own self, he bare our sins in his own body on a tree, so that we that were dead in sins and trespasses can now live in the righteousness of God. By his stripes ye were healed. Amen. How many know that word is past tense?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. It's past tense. It's already taken place, so now we can have faith to receive whatever we need in our physical body for the glory of God. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. We're talking about the bread. We're about to be finished up here with the instruction, and then we're going to partake in these elements. But now remember, we're magnifying these elements. We're holding them to the highest esteem. We're glorifying them. Why? Because there's glory in these things. We're magnifying them and removing ourselves out of this session. And when God is lifted up, then He'll draw all men unto Himself. Praise the Lord. You'll be drawn closer today than you've ever been with God because of this session today. Can I get a witness in the house? Our eyes are seeing the same color walls, the same carpet, the same minister, the same chairs, but today there'll be a change in your life for the betterment because we're studying this better and greater new covenant for the glory of God. Amen. Hebrews 10:1 says, "The law having a shadow of good things to come, but not the very image." The law was just a picture and a type, a photo of something that was about to come. And says that this image is not the very image of the things and could never in those sacrifices which were offered year by year continually make those that came into it perfect. Now I know that we understand that we do miss it, but how many of you know that under the new covenant God has made you perfect to come to Him? That's something for you to meditate on for about 1,000 years. We'll get it one of these days, won't we? I'm not saying that you'll never miss it again. I'm saying that He's made us perfect before Him. For then would they have not ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers once purged should have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices under the old covenant, the goat, the ram, the bullock, turtle doves, and all those, in those sacrifices there was always a remembrance again made of sins every year. Every year they had to bring a lamb down to Jerusalem. Over 250,000 little bitty lambs were slain in Jerusalem at Passover. And when Jesus was walking in the Kidron Valley up to Jerusalem there to give His life, He was walking through blood. Because the blood would flow, almost knee-deep down through the Kidron Valley during Passover. Why? Because the nation of Israel had to slay a little lamb for every family and go to Passover. So Jesus coming up the Kidron Valley there to do His sacrifice, it was the blood of that lamb was being magnified. Everybody coming into Jerusalem would see that blood because it was flowing over that whole area. So Jesus was reminding us here through the Apostle Paul that the blood that flowed through Jerusalem was only a picture. It was only an image of the one to come. Because that blood flowing out of the holy city of Jerusalem, it never had the power and the strength to clear someone's conscience of sin. It only pointed to one that was coming. Glory to God. And the blood of Jesus Christ is not a blood that just covers your sin up. It's not one that you're reminded of it every year. The blood of Jesus Christ has the power to totally annihilate the very conscience and the very guilt and the shame that comes with our faults and sins. Come on, y'all. Is that glory or what? Oh, my goodness. Now, see, this is not my gospel. This is the gospel of God. Amen. He don't want us carrying around the consciousness of sin anymore. He don't want us in shame or guilt anymore. He wants us free of that so we can just have fun being sons and daughters. Amen. He said in verse 9, he says, Here it is. He said, "But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year." Now, what are we supposed to remember every day and every year? He said, "This do in remembrance of me." Every time you have you ever have a heaving cry? I mean, you're crying so hard. You get the heaving. Well, you may not ever experience that. If you have in a dark moment and you begin to think how bad it is, or you begin to think about something bad that's happened, guess what? You're not supposed to stay there. You're supposed to put Him in remembrance. This do in remembrance of me. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
He said, but in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made unto sins every year, for it was not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. In other words, God wasn't pleased with those offerings. It wasn't the fullness. He was pleased for that at that moment. He said, but a body thou hast prepared me. That body was the body of Jesus Christ. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when He said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein which are offered by the law. Then said He, lo, I've come to do thy will, O God. And He takes away the first covenant that He may establish the second covenant, by the which will we're sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Watch this. Once and for all. Amen. It's not over and over and over again. One offering was enough for all. All are sanctified by that one offering. Oh, glory to God. Now, how many of you have ever been somewhere and been taught that you have to jump through hurdles and, you know, swing hula hoops before you can get sanctified? Well, how many of you know that sanctification doesn't come through something I do, like getting merit in the Boy Scouts? It comes through His broken body and His shed blood. When He shed His blood one time, and when His body was offered one time, I became the sanctified of the Lord. Now, I know that takes away a lot of people's thunder, because, you know, they think, well, now I've been living for the Lord 30 years. And I got seniority over you. Honey, I got a word for you today. I don't care if you've been walking with the Lord 100 years. You and I have the same seniority. If I've received Jesus' broken body and His shed blood, I'm just as sanctified as Jesus Himself. Hallelujah. I didn't do that. I take me out of the way of this, glory to God, and I put Him in there, glory to God. And when I take Him out, then we're serving Him worthily, glory to God. I said, when I take me out and put Him in, then I'm serving Him worthily. Glory to God. I could be born again one day, and I'm just as sanctified as you are. You've been born again 100 years. I've been born again one day. The same thing that sanctified you is sanctifying me. Unless you got a lot of works of your flesh is trying to be manifest. And the same blood that saved us will cleanse us from all those mix-ups and hang-ups of mankind. Come on, somebody. Woo! Glory to God. I say glory to God. I say glory to God. I say glory to God. Glory, 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 glory to God. This is a glorious gospel. Amen. Now, wouldn't it be sad if He looked down here and says, oh, y'all bunch of sinners, y'all the image of Adam. Wonder what y'all going to do. He didn't look at you and say, what are y'all going to do? He looked at you and says, now, I put Abram out so he couldn't mess it up. I'm going to put you out so you can't mess it up. I'm going to fulfill this new covenant. I'm going to walk it out, dot every I, cross every T. I'm going to fulfill the law of Moses, and it'll be counted unto me as righteousness. And the reason why I came down here as a man to walk on this earth and fulfill righteousness, now I, the man, Christ Jesus, has become an heir of everything that He accomplished in His deity. Everything He made in His deity, He's now the heir of that as a man. And the reason why God made him an heir and put him a man on the right hand of Father God, now it's not what we do, but we're now born into this inheritance and we become a joint heir with Jesus Christ. It's not by might, it's not by works, but it's by the Spirit, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a Holy Ghost thing that I'm an heir to the Father. Amen. It's a Holy Ghost thing that I'm an heir to the throne. Hallelujah. Oh, unworthy? Yes, I am. But now by faith in Jesus Christ, I'm a joint heir. Glory to God. What are you going to do to get Mama's place? What are you going to do to get Paw-Paw's place? He looked all over the world. He might remember when you put a big old dent in his car. He's thinking, well, dear Lord, you know, they hit the tree with my car. But you know, that's all right. They're still my offspring. It's not what you did to him or for him. It's simply you were born in the family. Therefore, now you're an heir. Glory to God. You can go down to courthouse and say, I'm the third removed great-great-grandchild. So I'm an heir to the estate, praise the Lord. And the whole world system will stand still. The world is kind of messed up right now. But the world system will stop in its tracks and go, oh, we have an heir. We've got to stop this process and give you your part of the plantation. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. How much more is the throne of God established? Amen. Glory be to God. One more. It says in verse 12, but this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins, he forever sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting until all his enemies be made his complete footstool. For by one offering hath he, here comes a big old strong word, even in the King Jimmy, praise the Lord, even in the King James, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. So that is the conclusion of these two elements, that Jesus has sanctified us and he's perfected us. He's made us an heir of everything that belongs to him. Amen. This morning, I want our ushers to come, if you will, and to serve this glorious body of believers. You may be here today and you may not be a member of Word Alive Church, but oh, we invite you to partake. Please partake of these elements. If you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're a part of the body of Christ, so you're a part of us. Glory to God. I went to church one time and wasn't a member there, and they told me if I wasn't a member, I couldn't have a part of it. So I'm telling you, if you're a member of the universal church, the glorious church, then please partake. Glory to God. We're members of this body in particular. I'm so thankful that you received this word of grace today, with kindness and gentleness and a hunger and a thirst for God. Praise the Lord. The Lord is so good and his mercy endures forever. As I said earlier today and very politely, that many will wait. They'll wait till they pass from this life before they ever experience the glory of God. God has redeemed us back into His state of love in this glorious gospel. Praise the Lord. You may come forth. Praise the Lord. So I want us to experience the glory, God's glory. He's established you in glory. Amen. Experience His power, His wonderfulness. What is the glory? What does the glory do? It's raised you from the dead. Jesus said in the book of Romans there, he said, if the same Spirit that raised Christ, that same Spirit was the glory of God. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it'll quicken your mortal body. Not just in the rapture, but in your body today. In your mortal body. At 17 minutes after 11 on April the 2nd, 2017, he'll quicken your mortal body. by the glorious gospel that you just received. Everybody, if you will, lift up your wafer and let's command the blessing on that. Oh, this wafer, it's, you know, I don't know, it probably, who knows what it costs, less than a cent. It's not worth a nickel, as we would say. But what it represents is the main thing. Heavenly Father, I lift this wafer, Father, acknowledging that we do understand. Thank you for the light that we have concerning the broken body of Jesus Christ. Thank you that the bread of life came to nourish and to supply and to bring forth blessing in the earth. Father, we acknowledge that Jesus took stripes on His own body. He bore the sins of the whole world in His own body on a tree. So, Father, we acknowledge Him and we put ourselves in remembrance of Him. And so, Father, as we break this wafer, we're reminded of the broken body of Jesus Christ that mends and fixes and puts back together all of our broken places and things. And Father, I extend my faith with these today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may break and partake of the wafer. That wafer that we just partook of is an assurance, the assurity of the new covenant. Jesus, the same day that He was betrayed, that day He took the bread and break it, and He said, "Eat as often as you eat this, do it in remembrance of Me." Then He took the cup. And you know that He swapped cups. He drank the cup of our sin, sickness, and disease, and it made Him. He never sinned. He was never sick. He had no disease. He never worried one day. He never cursed or sweared. But He was made sin when He drank our cup. He was made sin so He could suffer the penalty of our sin. So in the measure that He was made sin, we can drink the cup and be made the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we do lift the cup this morning. I extend my faith with these, believing to receive the fullness, the bountiful benefit of this cup. Thank you, Father, for all the blessing that comes in illumination, revelation of this cup. Father, we thank You. We thank You that many trod underfoot the very blood of the covenant. They trod underfoot the very bread of life. But Father, in conclusion, we magnify, we glorify the blood and the broken body of Jesus Christ. So, Father, as we drink this cup, we believe that we receive the full measure of what we need today. And it's in the authority of Jesus' name I pray and say, amen and amen. You may partake of the cup. Praise You, Father God. Now, Father, I thank You for the glory of Your presence. Thank You, Father, for the glory of Your word that came forth today. Thank You, Father, that our minds and heart are fixed upon You this morning. It is my prayer, Father God, that each and every one, as we go forth our way today, we will always put Jesus in remembrance, taking the place of ourselves so that we won't judge ourselves unworthily. But Father, we'll judge the communion in the right and proper manner, knowing that Jesus has placed us in a new covenant, that He's redeemed us, delivered us, set us free, healed our bodies, and made us ministers of this new covenant. So, Father, I command the blessing upon each and every one today, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.